Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, I think this is working. I typed in the wrong stream key. That was my fault. Let's get it fixed. Please, hopefully this works. Let me see. Please, Lord. Come on. Work. Yes, it works. Okay, we're good. Let me double check it here. Devil is a liar. Let's see. You know what? That wasn't even the devil. That was me. What am I saying? The devil is a liar. I messed it up. Accidentally typed in the wrong stream key. Okay, here we go. I was on time, guys. I was on time at 2 o'clock. It was just that I typed in the wrong stream key, and then I went live on yesterday's event, which I'm gonna have to go delete that after, but it's okay. All right, working. Oh, man. All right, here we go. I hate when I start off with technical difficulties because it kind of throws me off. Welcome to our daily Bible reading. This is gonna happen, y'all. We're just getting used to it, but it got fixed. Praise the Lord. I was blaming the devil. I was like, the devil's a liar. I was the one that typed in the wrong stream key, not the devil. How many of you know oftentimes we blame the devil when it was really us, not the devil? So that was not the devil. That was me. That was Isaiah Saldivar. Although some of you do think I'm the devil, but it's okay. We love you here as well, the heresy hunters. But yeah, I'm excited for today. We are reading through the Bible in 90 days. Just to clarify something, let me show you something on the app, okay? Because I know this is confusing. See how on day 3, it says to verse 11, chapter 40 to 11, okay? And then on day 4, it says verses 12 through 23. We're just going to do the whole chapter. So on the last video, I did all of chapter 40. We're going to start in 41. So we're not going to do like 10 verses, end it, and then start in the 10 verses. I don't know why they do that on the next day. We're just doing the entire chapter. So there we go. We got it. All right. But I was on time. That's one thing, is we're going to be on time every single stream, 2 o'clock. And the days that I start 5 minutes late, I purposely do that because we don't have a countdown, but I won't be doing that on these streams. And then let me also say this. If you didn't watch last night's stream on the book of Hebrews, you need to go watch it. I personally think it was one of the best verse by verses we've ever done. So go check that out. It was a great time last night. All right. For those of you that are new, this is what we're doing. I'm going to show this all the time because there's new people every single day. We are on the Bible app, and then you go to plans. Let me do this really quick and then we'll get started. The Bible in 90 days. Oh, wait, plans. Here we go. Okay. It's the fourth one down. So go to your Bible app, type in Bible in 90 days. And then you're going to go to the fourth one down, which is that one. Okay, Bible in 90 days. That is what we are doing. It's that plan. The Bible's on the table. The guy's in the plaid shirt. If you want to follow along, you can at any time. Don't feel condemned if you're like, well, I didn't start in day one. Just start right now. I also put the NLT version on the screen. So it's there the whole time. Everyone's asking what version. I put the giving link as well on screen because people are asking, how do I support? How do I become a monthly partner? It's going to stay on screen so the mods have a little bit less work to do. We are starting in chapter 41. Are y'all ready? Let me make sure I hit record. All right, we're jumping right into it. No long intro. Chapter 41, Pharaoh's dream. 2 full years later, and if you don't know, we're talking about Joseph and him being in the prison, and now he's interpreting dreams. So welcome. It was great last night. Thank you. Okay. I'm trying not to read the chat while I'm reading because it just distracts me, but I will look at the chat as we're going here and there. Okay, here we go. 2 full years later, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. In his dream, he saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin gazing in the marsh grass. Then he saw 7 more cows come up behind the Nile. These were scrawny and thin. Are you talking about me here? Wait, hold on. These cows stood beside the fat cows on the riverbank. Then the scrawny, thin cows ate the 7 healthy, fat cows. At this point in the dream, Pharaoh woke up. But he fell asleep again and had a second dream. This time he saw 7 heads of grain, plump and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then he saw 7 more heads of grain appeared, but these were shriveled and withered by the east wind. And these thin swallowed up 7 plump, well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh woke up and realized it was a dream. The next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dreams, so he called for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them his dream, none of them can tell him what they meant. Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up and said, "Today I've been reminded of my failure," he told Pharaoh. "Sometimes you imprisoned us and imprisoned us in the palace of the captain of the guard. One night, the chief baker and I each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. that was a young Hebrew man with us in prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard, and we told him our dreams, and he told us what each dream meant. And everything happened just as he predicted. I was restored to my position as a cupbearer, and the chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought up from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means, but I heard that when you hear about dreams, you can interpret them. So Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. In my dream, he said, I was standing on the bank of the Nile River, and I saw seven fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin gazing in the marsh grass. But then I saw seven sick-looking cows, scrawny and thin, come up after them. I've never seen such scrawny-looking animals in all the land of Egypt. These thin, scrawny cows ate the seven fat cows. But afterward, you couldn't have known it, for they were still as thin and scrawny as before. And then I woke up. In my dream, I also saw seven heads of grain, full and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then seven more heads of grain appeared, but these were blighted, shriveled, and withered by the east wind. And the shriveled heads have swallowed seven healthy heads. I told the dream to the magicians, but no one can tell me what they mean. Joseph responded, but if Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing, God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. The seven healthy cows and seven healthy heads of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The seven thin, scrawny cows that came up later and the seven thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represent 7 years of famine. This will happen just as I described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity through the land of Egypt. But afterwards, there'll be 7 years of famine so that the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. This famine will be so severe that even the memory of the good years will be erased. As for having two similar dreams, it meant... Excuse me, let me fix this. I gotta fix the scrolling. Give me 1 second. I'm going to... Am I gonna mess it up if I do this? Let me increase the font size, guys. Give me 1 second. Okay. I'll fix the scrolling later, but it's okay. We'll work with it for now. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he... Okay, I already read that. Oh, no. Here we go. Hold on. I had to change the font because the scrolling's messed up here for some reason. Okay. This famine will be so severe that even the memories of the good year will be erased. As for having two similar dreams, it means that these events have been decreed by God, and he'll soon make them happen. Therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge in the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh could appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years, having them gathered all the good food produced in the good years that are just ahead to bring into Pharaoh's storehouses, store it away, and guard it so there'll be food in the cities. That way, there'll be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine will come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, the famine will destroy the land. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man that's obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meanings of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is intelligent or wise as you. You'll be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a higher rank than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for those at second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name. Here we go. Here we go with the names, Zephanath-Paneah. All right, cool. He also gave him a wife whose name was Aseneth. She was the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. So Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. As predicted, for 7 years, the land produced bumper crops. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from surrounding fields in the cities. He piled up huge amounts of grain like sand on the seashore. Finally, he stopped keeping record because it was too much to measure. During this time, before the first year of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife. Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah and priest of On, Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my grief. At last, the 7 years of bumper crops through the land of Egypt came to an end. Then the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph predicted, the famine also struck all the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt was plenty of food. You know what? I'm going to try something, guys, here to highlight as I read to make it easier. Let me see if it'll auto-scroll. It's having trouble scrolling here. All right, let's try this. Eventually, however, the famine spread throughout the land of Egypt as well. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you. I don't think that's going to work. Severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. And for the people from all the land who came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, the famine was severe throughout the whole world. Let me see, is that going to auto-scroll? No, it's not. Okay, forget it. We're just going to read normal. Chapter 42. When Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, why are you standing around looking at one another? I've heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we will die. So Joseph's 10 older brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin, go with him for fear that some harm might come to him. So Jacob's son arrived in Egypt along with others to buy food, for the famine was in Canaan as well. Since Egypt was governor of all of Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came. When they arrived, they bowed before him with their faces to the ground, and Joseph recognized his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Where are you from? He demanded. From the land of Canaan, they replied. We have come to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. He remembered the dreams that he had about them years before, and he said to them, you are spies. You have come to see how vulnerable our land has become. No, my lord, they exclaimed. Your servants have simply come to buy food. We are all brothers, members of the same family. We're honest men, and we're not spies. Yes, you are, Joseph said. You've come to see how vulnerable our land has become. Sir, there's actually 12 of us. We are your servants, all brothers. Are all brothers... sons of a man living in the land of Canaan. Our youngest brother is back with the father right now, and one of our brothers is no longer with us, which, if you're just jumping on, is Joseph who they're talking to. But Joseph insisted, as I said, you're spies. This is how I'll test your story. I swear by the life of Pharaoh that you'll never leave Egypt unless your younger brother comes here. One of you must go and get your brother. I'll keep the rest of you here in prison. Then we'll find out whether your story is true. By the life of Pharaoh, if it turns out that you don't have a younger brother, then I'll know you're spies. So Joseph put them all in prison for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said, I am a God-fearing man. If you do as I say, you will live. If you really are honest men, choose one of your brothers to remain in prison. The rest of you can go home with grain for your starving families. But you must bring the youngest brother back to me, and this will prove that you're telling the truth and you will not die. And to this they agreed. Speaking among themselves, they said, clearly we're being punished because of what we did to Joseph long ago. We saw his anguish when he pleaded for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why we're in this trouble. Again, they don't know that they're talking to Joseph. Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? Reuben said, but you didn't listen, and now we have to answer for his blood. Of course, they didn't know that Joseph understood them, for he'd been speaking to them through an interpreter. Oh, I lost myself again. Okay. Now he turned away from the men. He turned away from them and began to weep. When he regained his composure, he spoke to them again. Then he chose Simeon from among them, and he had him tied up right before their eyes. Joseph then ordered his servants to fill sacks full of grain, but he also gave secret instructions to each of the brothers, each of them. This is chapter 42. He also gave them supplies on their journey. So the brothers loaded their donkeys with grain and headed home. But when they stopped for the night and one of them opened the sack to get grain from his donkey, he found his money on top of his sack. Look, he said to his brothers, my money's been returned. It's in my sack. Then their hearts sank trembling to each other. What has God done to us? Then the brothers came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, and they told him everything that happened to them. The man who was governor of the land spoke very harshly to us, they told him. He accused us of being spies scouting out the land. But we said, we're honest men, not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of one father, and one brother is no longer with us, and the youngest is at home with our father in the land of Canaan. Then the man who is governor of the land told us, This is how I'll find out if you're honest. Leave one of your brothers with me and take grain for your starving families, but go on home. You must bring the youngest brother back to me. Then I'll know that you're honest men and not spies. Then I'll give you back your brother and you may trade freely in the land. As they emptied out their sacks, there in each one's sack was a bag of money and a pair of grain. He had paid for the grain. The brothers and their father were terrified when they saw the bags of money. Jacob said, "You're robbing me of my children. Joseph is gone, Simeon is gone, and Simeon is gone. And now you want to take Benjamin too? Everything is going against me." Then Reuben said to his father, "You may kill my sons, my two sons, if I don't bring Benjamin back to you. I'll be responsible for him, and I promise to bring him back." But Jacob replied, "My son will not go down with you. His brother Joseph is dead, and he's all that I have left. If anything would happen to him on your journey, you would send this grieving, white-haired man to his grave." Chapter 43. But the famine continued to ravage the land of Canaan. When the grain they had brought from Egypt was almost gone, Jacob said to his sons, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said, "The man was serious when he warned us. You won't see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you send Benjamin, he'll go down and buy more food. But if you don't let Benjamin go, we won't be able to go either. Remember, the man said, 'You won't see my face unless my brother's with you.'" "Why were you so cruel to me?" Jacob moaned. "Why did you tell them you had another brother?" "The man kept asking us questions about our family," they said. He asked, "Is your father still alive? Do you have an older brother?" So we answered his questions. How could we know he would say, "Bring your brother down here"? Judah said to his father, "Send the boy with me and it will be on our way. Otherwise, we are all going to die of starvation. And not only we, but you and our little ones. I personally guarantee his safety. You may hold me responsible if I don't bring him back, and let the blame be on me forever. If we hadn't have wasted this time, we could have gone and returned twice by now." So their father Jacob finally said to them, "If it can be avoided, then at least do this. Pack your bags with the best products of the land. Take them down to the man as gift bombs, honey gum, aromatic resin, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Also take double the money that was put in your sacks, and it was probably someone's mistake. Then take your brother and go back to the man. May God Almighty give you mercy as you go before the man so that he will release Simeon and let Benjamin return. But if I must lose my children, so be it." So the men packed Jacob's gifts and doubled the money and headed off with Benjamin. They finally arrived in Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the manager of his household, "These men will eat with me this noon. Take them inside the palace, then go slaughter an animal and prepare a big feast." So the men did as Joseph told him and took them into Joseph's palace. The brothers were terrified when they saw that they were being taken into Joseph's house. "It's because the money someone put in our sacks last time we were here. He plans to pretend that we stole it, and then he'll seize us and make us slaves and take our donkeys." Man, I'm sorry, guys. The scroller thing, it goes either way too much or way too little here. I'm going to have it fixed before next time. The brothers approached the manager of Joseph's house and spoke to him at the entrance of the palace. "Sir," they said, "we came to Egypt once to buy food, but as we were returning home, we stopped for the night and opened our sacks. Then we discovered that each of the man's money, the exact amount paid, was on top of his sack. Here it is. We brought it back with us. We also have an additional money to buy more food, and we have no idea who put the money in our sacks." "Relax. Don't be afraid," the manager said. "Your God, the God of your father, must have put the treasure in your sacks. I know I received your payment." Then he released Simeon and brought him to them. The manager then led men into Joseph's palace, and he gave them water to wash their feet and provided food for their donkeys. They were told that they would be eating there, so they prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon. When Joseph came home, they gave him the gifts they'd brought him and bowed low to the ground before him. After greeting them, he asked, "How is your father, the old man you spoke about? Is he still alive?" "Yes," they replied. "Our father, your servant, is alive and well," and they bowed low again. Then Joseph looked at his brother Benjamin, the son of his own mother. "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" Joseph said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried from the room. He was overcome with emotion for his brother. He went into his private room where he broke down and wept. After washing his face, he came back out, keeping himself under control. Then he ordered, "Bring out the food." The waiters served Joseph and his own table, and his brothers were served at a separate table. The Egyptians who ate with Joseph sat at their own table because Egyptians despised Hebrews and refused to eat with them. Joseph told each of his brothers where to sit, And to their amazement, he seated them according to their age from oldest to youngest. Again, they don't know that this is Joseph, obviously. And Joseph filled their plates with food from his own table and gave Benjamin five times as much as the others. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Chapter 44. When his brothers were ready to leave, Joseph gave these instructions to the palace manager. Fill each of their sack with as much grain as they can carry and put each man's money back into a sack. Then put my personal silver cup at the top of the youngest brother's sack along with the money for the grain. So the manager did as Joseph instructed. The brothers were up at dawn and were sent on their journey with their loaded donkeys. But when they'd gone only a short distance and were barely out of the city, Joseph told the palace manager, chase after and stop them. When you catch up to them, ask them, why have you repaid my kindness with such evil? Why have you stolen my master's silver cup, which he uses to predict the future? What a wicked thing you've done. When the palace manager caught up to the men, he spoke to them as he'd been instructed. What are you talking about? The brother said. We are your servants. We would never do such a thing. Didn't we return the money that we found in our sacks? We brought it all the way back from the land of Canaan. Why would we steal silver and gold from your master's house? If you find this cup in any of us, let that man die and let all the rest of us be your slaves. That's fair, the man said, but only the one that stole my cup will be my slave. The rest of you may go free. They all quickly looked in their sacks from backs of their donkeys and opened them. Oh, they took their sacks and opened them. The palace manager searched the brother's sack from the oldest to the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. When the brothers saw this, they tore their clothing in despair. They loaded their donkeys again and returned to the city. Joseph was still in his palace, and Judah was with his brothers, and they fell to the ground. What have you done? Joseph demanded. Don't you know that a man like me can predict the future? Judah answered, oh, my Lord, what can we say? How can we explain this? How can we prove that we're innocent? God is punishing us for our sins. My Lord, we have returned to be your slaves, all of us, not just the brother who had the cup in his sack. No, Joseph said, I would never do such a thing. Only the man that stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you can go back to your father in peace. Then Judah stepped forward and said, please, my Lord, let your servant say just one word to you. Please do not be angry, even though you're as powerful as Pharaoh himself. My Lord, previously you asked us, your servant, do you have a father or a brother? And we responded, yes, we have a father who's an old man, and his youngest son is a child of old age. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him very much. And you said to us, bring him here so we can see him with our own eyes. But we said, my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father, or the father would die. But you told us, unless your youngest brother comes, you'll never see my face again. So we returned to your servant, our father, and told him what you have said. Later, when he said, go back again and buy food, we replied, we can't go unless our youngest brother is with us. We'll never get to see the man's face unless our youngest brother is there. Then my father said, as you know, my wife had two sons. One of them went away and never returned. Doubtless, he was torn into pieces by a wild animal, and I've never seen him since. Now, if you take his brother away from me and harm comes to him, you will send this white grieving white hair. You'll send this grieving white-haired man to his grave. And now, my Lord, I cannot go back to my father without the boy. Our father's life is bound up in the boy's life. If he sees the boy is not with us, our father will die. We, your servants, will indeed be responsible for sending that grieving white-haired man to his grave. My Lord, I guarantee to my father that I would take care of the boy, and I told him, if I don't bring him back, I will bear the blame forever. So please, my Lord, let me stay here as slaves instead of the boy, and let the boy return to his father. For how can I return to my father if the boy is not with me? I couldn't bear the anguish that would cause my father. Chapter 45. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out of all of you, so he was alone with his brother when he told him who he was. Then he broke down and wept. Out of all of you. Oh, so he told everybody to get out. Okay. So he was just with his brothers. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and the word quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned and they realized. Oh, I lost my place. They were stunned when they realized that Joseph was standing in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep your family alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you, and he was the one that made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me a master over all the land of Egypt, so come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead. Otherwise, you and your household and animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and you can see my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honored position here in Egypt, describe for him everything you've seen, and then bring my father out here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them, and they all began talking freely with him. The news soon reached Pharaoh's palace. Joseph's brothers have arrived. Pharaoh and his officials were all delighted to hear this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers this is what you must do. Load your packed animals and hurry back to the land of Canaan. Then get your father and all your families and return here to me. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and you will eat from the best of the land that the land produces. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, take wagons from the land of Egypt to carry your little children and your wives and bring your father here. Don't worry about your personal belongings, for the best of the land of Egypt is yours. So the son of Jacob did as they were told. Joseph provided them wagons as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them supplies for their journey. And he gave each of them new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. He also sent his father 10 male donkeys loaded with the finest products of Egypt and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other supplies that he would need on his journey. So Joseph sent his brothers off, and as they left, he called after them, don't quarrel about this all along the way. And they left Egypt and returned to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. Joseph is still alive, they told him, and he's governor of the land of Egypt. Jacob was stunned on the news. He couldn't believe it. But when they repeated to Jacob everything Joseph had told them, and he saw the wagons Joseph had sent to carry the father's spirit revived. Then Jacob exclaimed, it must be true. My son Joseph is alive. I must go see him before I die. Chapter 46. So Jacob sent out for Egypt with all his possessions. And when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. During the night, God spoke to him in a vision. Jacob, Jacob, he called. Here I am, Jacob replied. I am God, the God of your father. The voice said, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. For there I will make your father into a great nation. I will go down to Egypt and I'll bring you back again, and you'll die in Egypt, but Joseph will be with you when you close your eyes. So Jacob left Beersheba, and his sons took... I'm just reading the comment, sorry. Get distracted. Took him to Egypt. They carried him and their little ones and their wives in wagons Pharaoh had provided. They also took their livestock and all their personal belongings that they acquired in the land of Canaan. So Jacob and his entire family went to Egypt. Sons and grandsons, daughters and granddaughters, all of his descendants, and these were the names. And you guys know, we're not doing descendant names. They're too hard to pronounce. So here's all the descendants. You can read them on your own time. All the sons, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Becher, Bela. If you're looking for kids' names, you can look through this chapter here and find all the descendants. All right. So together there were 70 members of Jacob's family in the land of Egypt. As they neared their destination, Jacob sent Judah ahead to meet Joseph and get direction to the region of Goshen. And when they finally arrived, Joseph prepared his chariot and traveled to Goshen to meet his father, Jacob. When Joseph arrived, he embraced his father and wept, holding him for a long time. Finally, Jacob said to Joseph, now I'm ready to die, since I've seen your face again and know you're still alive. And Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's entire family, I will go to Pharaoh and tell him, my brothers and my father's entire family have come to me from the land of Canaan. These men are shepherds, and they raise livestock. They have brought with them their flocks and herds and everything they own. Then he said, When Pharaoh calls you and asks you for your occupation, you must tell him, we are your servants who have raised livestock our entire lives, as our ancestors have always done. When you tell him this, he will let you live here in the region of Goshen, for the Egyptians despise shepherds. Excuse me. Chapter 47. Then Joseph went to see Pharaoh and told him, my father and my brothers have arrived from the land of Canaan. They've come with all their flocks and herds and possessions, and they are now in the region of Goshen. Joseph took five of his brothers with him and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked the brothers, what is your occupation? They said, we're servants, shepherds, just like our ancestors. We've come to live here in Egypt for a while when there's no pasture for our flocks in Canaan. The famine is very severe, so please, we request permission to live in the region of Goshen. Then Pharaoh said, now that your father and brothers have joined you here, choose any place in the entire land of Egypt for them to live. Give them the best land of Egypt and let them live in the region of Goshen. And if any of them have special skills, put them in charge of livestock too. Then Joseph brought in his father, Jacob, and presented him to Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. How old are you? Pharaoh said. Jacob said, I've traveled this earth for 130 hard years, but my life has been short compared to the lives of my ancestors. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh again before leaving his court. So Joseph assigned the best land of Egypt, the region of Ramses, to his father and his brothers, and he settled them there, just as Pharaoh had commanded. Some said, I'm looking for a son name. And Joseph provided food for his father and his brothers in amounts appropriate to the number of their dependents, including the smallest children. Meanwhile, the famine became so severe that all the food was used up and the people were starving throughout the land of Egypt and Canaan. By selling grain to the people, Joseph eventually collected all the money in Egypt and Canaan, and he put the money in Pharaoh's treasury. When the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money, all the Egyptians came to Joseph. Our money is gone, they cried, but please give us food, for we will die before your very eyes. Joseph said, since your money is gone, bring me your livestock. I will give you food in exchange for your livestock. So they brought their livestock to Joseph in exchange for food. In exchange for their horses, flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and donkeys, Joseph provided them for food for another year. But that year ended, and the next year came, and again, we cannot hide the truth, my lord. Our money is gone, and all our livestock and cattle are yours. We have nothing left to give but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before our very eyes? Buy us and our land in exchange for food. We offer our land and ourselves as slaves for Pharaoh. Just give us grain so we may live and not die, and so the land doesn't become empty and desolate. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. All the Egyptians sold them their fields because the famine was so severe, and soon all the land began to long to Pharaoh. As for the people, he made them all slaves, from one end of Egypt to another. The only land that he didn't buy was the land that belonged to the priest. They received an allotment of food directly from Pharaoh, so they didn't need to sell their land. Then Joseph said, look, today I've brought you and your land, you and your land for Pharaoh. I'll provide you with seed so you can plant fields. Then when you harvest it, one-fifth of your crop will belong to Pharaoh. You may keep the remaining of your four-fifths as seed for your fields and as food for you, your household, and your little ones. You have saved our lives, they said. May it please you, my lord, to let us be Pharaoh's servants. Joseph then issued a decree that was still into effect in the land of Egypt that Pharaoh should receive one-fifth of all the crops that were grown in the land. Only the land belonging to the priest was not given to Pharaoh. Meanwhile, the people of Israel settled in the region of Goshen in Egypt. There they acquired property and they were fruitful and their population grew rapidly. Jacob lived for 70 years after his arrival in Egypt. He lived 147 years in all. As the time of his death drew near, Jacob called for his son Joseph and said, please do me this favor. Put your hand under my thigh and swear that you'll treat me with unfailing love by answering this last request. Do not bury me in Egypt. When I die, please take my body out of Egypt and bury me with my ancestors. So Joseph promised, I'll do as you ask. I swear that you will do it, Jacob said. So Joseph gave an oath, and Jacob bowed humbly at the head of his bed. Chapter 48. We're almost there, guys. Today was a lot quicker. Well, I don't know yet, because we got two more chapters, and sometimes these chapters take a long time. One day not long after this, word came to Joseph. Your father is failing rapidly. So Joseph went to visit him and take with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Joseph arrived, Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to see you." So Jacob gathered his strength and sat up in his bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, 'I will make you fruitful and I will multiply your descendants. I will make you a multitude of nations and I will give you this land of Canaan to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.' Now I'm claiming as my own sons these two boys of yours, Ephraim and Manasseh, who are born here in the land of Egypt before I arrived. They will be my sons just as Reuben and Simeon are. But any children born to you in the future will be your own, and they will inherit land within the territories of their brothers Ephraim and Manasseh. Long ago, as I was returning from Padan Aram, Rachel died in the land of Canaan. We were still on the way some distance from Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So with great sorrow, I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath." Then Jacob looked over at the two boys. "Are these your sons?" he asked. "Yes," Joseph told him. "These are the sons that God has given me here in the land of Egypt." And Jacob said, "Bring them closer to me so I can bless them." Jacob was half blind because of his age and he can hardly see. So Joseph brought the boys close to him and Jacob kissed and embraced them. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "I never thought I would see your face again, but now God has let me see your children too." Joseph moved the boys who were with their grandfather's knees and bowed them with his face to the ground. Then he positioned the boys in front of Jacob. With his right hand, he directed Ephraim towards Jacob's left hand. And with his left hand, he put Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms and reached out to lay his hands on the boy's head. He put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and his left hand on the hand of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and father Isaac walked, the God who had been my shepherd all of my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May he preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth." But Joseph was upset when he saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head. So Joseph lifted it to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. "No, my father," he said, this is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused. "I know, my son, I know," he replied. "Manasseh will also become a great people, but his younger brother will be even greater, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations." So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing: "The people of Israel will use your names when they give a blessing. They will say, may God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh.' In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh." Then Jacob said to Joseph, "Look, I'm about to die, but God will be with you all. But God will be with you, and will you take me back to Canaan, the land of your ancestors? And beyond that, I'm giving you an extra portion of the land that I took from the Amorites with my sword and bow." Jacob's last words. Then Jacob called his sons, "Gather around. I'll tell you what will happen to each of you in the days to come. Come and listen. Reuben, you're my firstborn, my strength, the child of my vigorous youth. You are first in rank and in power, but you are as unruly as a flood, and you'll be first no longer. For you went to bed with my wife, and you defiled my marriage couch." Ugh, it's wild. Simeon and Levi are two of a kind. Their weapons are instruments of violence, and may I never join in their meetings. May I never be a party to their plans. For in their anger, they murdered men and they crippled oxen just for sport. A curse on their anger, for it is fierce. A curse on their wrath, for it is cruel. I will scatter them among the descendants of Jacob. I'll disperse them throughout Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You'll grasp your enemies by their neck. All your relatives will bow down. Judah, my son, is a young lion that has finished eating his prey. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down, like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one who it belongs, the one whom of all nations will honor. He ties fowl to the grapevine, the colt of his donkey to a choice vine. He washes his cloth in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. I need to get on that. Whatever teeth whitening he was using, whiter than milk. Zebulun will settle by the seashore and will be a harbor for ships. His borders will extend to Sidon. Issachar is a sturdy donkey resting between two saddle packs. When he sees how good the countryside is and how pleasant the land, he will bow his shoulder to load and submit himself to hard labor. Dan will govern his people like any other tribe in Israel. Dan will be a snake beside the road, a poisonous viper along the path that bites the horse's hooves so its rider gets thrown off. I trust in you for salvation, O Lord. Gad, you'll be attacked by marauding bands. You do not want to be Gad. But he will attack them when they retreat. Asher will dine on rich foods and produce food fit for kings. I'm trying to be Asher. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. All right, praise the Lord. Joseph is a fowl of a wild donkey, the fowl of a wild donkey at a spring, one of the wild donkey on the ridge. Archers attack him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him, but his bow remained taut, and his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel. May the God of your fathers help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above and blessings of the watery depths below and the blessings of the breast and the womb. May my fatherly blessing on you surpass the blessings of my ancestors, reaching to the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, who is prince among his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, devouring his enemies in the morning and dividing his plunder in the evening. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said as he told his sons goodbye. He blessed each one with an appropriate message. Then Jacob instructed them, "Soon I will die and join my ancestors. Bury me with my father and grandfather in the cave in the field of Ephraim the Hittite. This is the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan that Abraham brought from the Ephron the Hittite as a permanent burial site. There Abraham and his wife Sarah are buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah are buried, and there I buried Leah. Is the plot of land and the cave that my grandfather Abraham bought from the Hittites." Then Jacob had finished this charge in his sons. He drew his feet into bed, breathed his last, and joined his ancestors in death. Chapter 50, not 20. We're not going back. Joseph threw himself on his father and wept and kissed him. Then Joseph told his physicians who served him to embalm his father's body, so Jacob was embalmed. The embalming process took the usual 40 days, and the Egyptians mourned his death for 70 days. When the period of mourning was over, Joseph approached Pharaoh's advisors and said, "Please do me a favor and speak to Pharaoh on my behalf. Tell him that my father made me swear an oath. He said to me, 'Listen, I'm about to die. Take my body back to the land of Canaan and bury me in the tomb I prepared for myself. So please allow me to go bury my father, and after his burial, I'll return without delay.' Pharaoh agreed to Joseph's request. 'Go and bury your father as you promised,' he said. So Joseph went up to bury his father. He was accompanied by all of Pharaoh's officials, all of the senior members of Pharaoh's household, and all the senior officers of Egypt. Joseph also took his entire house and his brothers and their households, but they left their little children and flocks and the herds in the land of Goshen. A great number of chariots and charioteers, okay, that's hard for me to say, accompanied Joseph. When they arrived at the threshing floor of Atad near the Jordan River, they held a very great and solemn memorial service with 7-day mourning period for Joseph's father. The local residents, the Canaanites, watched them mourning at the threshing floor of Atad. Then they remained that place, which was near the Jordan, Abel Mizraim, for they said, "This is a place of deep mourning for those Egyptians." So Jacob's sons did as he commanded. They carried his body to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre. This is the cave that Abraham bought as a permanent burial site from Ephron the Hittite. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. "Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him," they said. Then they sent this message to Joseph. "Before our father died, he instructed us to say this to you. Please forgive your brothers for the Please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you. For their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin." When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came, threw themselves down, and said, "Look, we're your slaves," they said. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So rest assured." So he reassured them. When I read it wrong, I'm like, this makes no sense, but I read it wrong. So he reassured them by speaking kindly. the death of Joseph. So Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt, and Joseph lived to 110. He lived to see three generations of descendants of his son Ephraim, and lived to see the birth of his children of Manasseh's son Makar, who claimed to be his own. "Soon I will die," Joseph said to his brothers, "but God will come to help you and lead you out of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Then Joseph made sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, "When God comes to help you and lead you back, you must take my bones with you." So Joseph died at 110, and the Egyptians embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. We did it. Day 4 is down. We start tomorrow. That's exciting. We're done with Genesis. We start Exodus tomorrow, which is going to be great. And you know what I thought about this story is interesting? God brought them into Egypt, right? You guys notice that? God brought them into Egypt, but they stayed so long, they became slaves to the place that God brought them. So some of you, God brought you somewhere, like maybe the ministry you're at, and you stayed longer than God wanted you to stay, and now you've become a slave to the very place that God brought you. God never wanted them to stay in Egypt forever. He brought them there to provide for them, but then they stayed and they become slaves, which we're going to read about in Exodus. So that would give you guys that interesting fact there. Praise the Lord. We're done with Genesis. And I love this. We have 1,100 people on. That is amazing. Reading the Bible. That is so awesome, guys. I love that. 1,100 people. We might have some guest appearances tomorrow. We will see. We might have some guest appearances on the daily reading. We'll distribute some of the work out to people. I told my wife, "Hey, whatever you want to do one, just let me know. You can take over." Thank you all for being here, Celeste. Thank you for being here. I see you in the chat. You guys are awesome. I see Jared and Candace in the chat. Let's go. Thank you guys for joining. Even if you're not listening, guys, you can just read and make sure that when you're done, you check it off the list. So let's go to day 4. All right, here we go. Wait, I'm already on this plan. My plans. Okay. So day 4, go to it here and then make sure you check all the little boxes so you can track your progress. So let's check all the boxes. We did it. We did it. We did it. And then you'll get a pop-up saying you're done. Praise the Lord. Oh, you could share it. Cool. All right. Anyways, and then we're going to day 5, which is Exodus 1 to 15. We have 15 chapters tomorrow. Day 4 done. We're taking it one day at a time. It's too stressful to think of 90 days. So we're taking it one day at a time. Oh, we have 1,400 of you on. It just reloaded. That's awesome. 1,300 on YouTube and 60 on Facebook. I thought this was going to be a lot of people on Facebook because Facebook people scroll through and all that. But yeah, Facebook has been very small, but YouTube's been amazing. And I'm glad that you guys are on. Today was only 47 minutes. So it felt short compared to an hour. But yes, there's so many times in there that I want to like laugh or make a joke or a statement, but I just keep reading. I'll say stuff here and there, but there's just a lot of funny things and funny names that happen in the Old Testament. You did awesome. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you guys are excited about this. I'm excited about this. It's been enjoyable doing this. Even though we're only 4 days in, we got a long way to go, but we are moving in the right direction. I did not realize how big the Bible was. I've read the Bible through. Obviously, many of you have as well. And yeah, it's like, wow, the Bible's way bigger than I thought. So that's cool. Donkey. Yes. If you are a monthly partner, guys, or want to become one, you can there. But I want to make this announcement. Our prayer call is Thursday at 1 o'clock now, not 1:30. It's not a massive deal because some will show up at 1:30 and then we'll let them know it's at 1 from now on. But I've tried to make a point to announce it that it's at 1 o'clock. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. You're awesome. So yeah, it's at 1 o'clock, the prayer call. So awesome. Love this is happening. I'm so glad you guys are enjoying it. It's been a great time. Yeah, it's been a great time. That's all I have to say. I know I'm not like a professional audiobook reader, but I'm trying, all right? I'm going to get better as the days go. I'm like, all right, stop at periods and pause, commas. I'm trying in my mind to do it, but it's whatever. It doesn't really matter. I'm just reading and you guys are joining the journey and going with me. You enunciate words with precision. Dude, I am the worst at enunciating and pronouncing my words. I always slur my words and my wife's always like, "What are you saying? I can't understand you." And I'll listen to myself back like when I'm talking casually in conversation and I'm like, "How do people understand me?" Because I say my words lazily when I'm in conversation and I don't pronunciate them. But when I'm reading, I think I'm more intentional to pronunciate them. All right. Okay, so the prayer call is for all the monthly partners. We can't open it up to everybody because there's too many people and it crashes Zoom. So it's for the monthly partners. If you're a monthly partner on YouTube, go to your perks tab and you can get the link. It's always the same link. I know some of you are like, I don't get emails as a monthly partner. It's just one email when you sign up and it's the same link forever, okay? So it's the same link. Now, if you don't have that link and you are a monthly partner, email me because you have my email because when you signed up, I emailed you. You're authentic and genuine. I love it. I'm glad, Vision. Thank you. So there you go. There you go. Cherish would do great. Cherish is going to do a day. And also, my mom's going to do a day. Who wants to see my mom do a day? That would be awesome. Shout out to my mom. Thanks for making me. But yeah, she will be doing, my mom's going to do a day. Cherish is going to do a day. Pretty much whoever wants to. There's 90 days. So I'm like, any friends, family that want to jump on and do it. The only drawback is you have to be doing it like from a computer, streaming it with like a streaming program, the way I have my Restream set up. But I'm sure we can figure stuff out and stuff like that. But I'll probably just have my mom come here and then my sister will come here and do it. Don't word curse yourself. You do very, very well done, son. Thank you, Paula. If you learn how to code, you can get more people and it won't crash. Well, I got the largest plan that Zoom has. I think it was 1,000 people in a call and we had that happen, but then instantly it filled up and it kept crashing over and over. And so I reached out to Zoom. This was a long time ago. And they basically said, well, yeah, it's not made for thousands of people and you have 1,000 people coming in. So they were just like, it's part of having that many people. Better than the audiobook. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Have more faith in yourself. Thank you, Yvette. All right. Thank you. Yeah, anybody that wants to jump on, yeah, they can. My mic's about to fall apart. I need to tighten the little bolt here. Don't feel bad. It probably has to do with your tongue tie. I mean, it probably does. It probably does. That's funny. The tongue tie. You're easy to understand. Stop it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are so nice. You can tag team chapters and mix it up. Yeah, that's probably what we're going to end up doing tomorrow, most likely. We'll probably have multiple people on. And we'll probably be at Jared and Candace's house. And so we will tag team it. We will tag team it. Jared is going to be taking over. My mom said you're doing great. Thank you, Mom. Jared is going to be taking over Mondays. So he's going to be committing to every Monday, which I'm so grateful for because Monday night is my main teaching, preaching stream that I prepare for. And I try to lock myself in prayer and the word for a few hours throughout the day. So I'm very grateful because if not, it's like 2 p.m. I'm doing this and I literally am in my office till 10 p.m. So I usually will lock in around 2 or 3 in my office in the word and prayer before my stream to get like prepared and be in the right place. And I don't get done till like, let's say 8, 9, depending, which other stuff I have to do at the end of my stream. So yeah, that'll be helpful for Jared to do Mondays from now on. It'll be fun. Too bad we can all pitch in. Yeah. Yeah. I probably will just have friends and family that I know because I don't know how I would make it where other people can just sign up to do it. Marcel would be great. Yeah, she would. Great to read the whole Bible together like this online. Absolutely. And I do appreciate all the love and all the support that you guys are giving, not just like financially, but prayer support and showing up to the streams. We had 1,400 people here today. That's amazing. That's more than we had last night at our teaching. So that is awesome, guys. Getting people excited about the Bible. I mean, we're just reading the Bible in 2025 and people are excited. They're joining. They're looking forward to it. They're setting their alarms, which I recommend you do. Set your alarm for 2 p.m. I love all the people driving Amazon Prime that are in the prayer calls. They're always in their Amazon Prime vans on the prayer call. They have their AirPod in. They're delivering packages. Probably a lot of those packages are coming to my house. When you guys are at work, a lot of people are putting an AirPod in as they're driving their Amazon van instead of listening to a podcast. Hey, listen, join this. Listen to this instead of the Joe Rogan podcast. All right? Probably not very healthy. You're listening to that anyways. So jump on this. It's better. It's the Bible. Okay, I love you guys so much. Take a drink. That's what I need to do. You're right. I should do that throughout. It's been a long time, but we're back. We're back. The Hint Water, it's back, ladies and gentlemen. Also, if anybody wants to join me, don't feel obligated if you don't want to, but I'm doing no caffeine for 90 days as well. So that's a pretty big deal for me, if you know me. So no caffeine for 90 days and then reading the Bible in 90 days. I'm also working out every single day, which has made me feel awesome. I'm playing pickleball like 2 to 3 times a week and I feel great. Reading the Bible, doing the streams, we're homeschooling the kids. It's been a good, good season. We're starting 2025 just on the right track. And no caffeine. And I've been feeling great. I had a headache for like 3 days, pounding headache. Felt like I had people living in my head with a hammer pounding my brain. And it was very painful for a couple days. But it's gone now. No more headaches. So that's good. I guess, you know, your body withdraws because caffeine is addictive. Now, don't feel obligated. You don't have to do that. Don't be like, if you want to, you can, but do not feel obligated. And it wasn't even like the Lord spoke to me to not do caffeine for 90 days. I just decided to for my own reasons. So yeah. V8 energy drinks. I haven't heard of those. Are those good? I'll do it. Yeah. I mean, if you feel led, I'm just doing it, but it's not like a commandment. It's not like a conviction where the Lord's like, you got to stop drinking caffeine. It's just for my own personal, I just felt for doing these Bible readings, it'd be better for me and stuff like that. So the caffeine gnomes, yeah, in the brain. Oh yeah. Are you going to do a 1 million live stream? Yeah, I will. If we ever get there. Guys, I'll have like explosive growth and then it's just, it halts. So I was almost tempted to be like, post the viral shorts again, Nico. But I was like, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to do it. I'm tempted to do, but we're not going to. We're just going to grow slow and organic. Totally fine. Hamball. Someone said, nope, need my ass coffee. And that's totally cool. That's totally cool. Like I'm saying, it's just a personal thing I'm doing. You don't have to join me. It's not like the Lord's saying you need to fast caffeine. None of that. It's just a personal thing. I just thought I'd share with you guys in case you're encouraged as well to do that or not. It doesn't matter. All right. I love you guys. Oh, tonight we'll be live at 6 o'clock. We are doing family prayer and game night. It's going to be fun. We're going to also be taking communion. Okay. So there's eight dozen. I just almost said there's 8 dozen of you in here. There's 800 of you. There's 8 dozen of you. I'm thinking of egg prices, man. They're so high right now. Cheaper by the dozen. There's 800 of you in here. Come back tonight for family prayer and fun games and all that, okay? We're going to be taking communion. That's what I was trying to say. Man, my mind, my train of thought went off the rails. We're going to be taking family communion tonight. So if you want to take communion with us at 6 o'clock, we're going to be live again soon. So I'm going to get off here because we'll be live at 6. It's going to be great. We're going to do communion. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the kids questions again like we did last time because it's fun for them. They enjoy it. We want to integrate them into the streams, get them involved in what we're doing. And then we're going to be playing a fun game. It's going to be hilarious. There's going to be lots of laughter. Alyssa will be squealing and laughing and pig snorting on the stream. You can guarantee that. So that's going to be great. Get your families together. It's going to be good. Get your kids together. Get your family. It'll be family friendly. We're not going to be talking about, you know, deliverance and all that. So it'll be family friendly. Should be thousands. Amen. Amen. Okay. So communion tonight, 6 o'clock, prayer, hang out with the kids, and fun game. Love you guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.